I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The image of the good shepherd is one that I find very comforting. Being known and loved and guided in the right pathways is a huge consolation. Life can be tough and frequently uncertain. What about the sheep, though? What about being sheep? This is pastoral imagery that would have been very familiar to the people Jesus was addressing. In our culture, though, I'm not so sure that we like being compared to sheep. It's often used as an insult, implying stupidity or being easily led. But could we be giving sheep a raw deal, or perhaps flattering ourselves too much? Over the summer, I read a book called The Sheep's Tale. It's by John Lewis Stemple, a farmer and writer based in Herefordshire, a very rural county. He doesn't keep a huge number of sheep, and he's certainly come to know them very well. For him, the sheep are not just a featureless flock, but each have their own names and personalities too. And they know and respond to him in a way that they wouldn't do with a stranger. They know their own names. Far from being stupid, it seems that sheep can even be quick learners, especially where food is concerned. It's said they can demonstrate emotional intelligence. They can even use tools when it helps them to get at food. Sean the sheep's not so far-fetched after all, perhaps. The most surprising thing for me is their capacity for facial recognition. In perhaps the oddest scientific experiment ever conducted, they were taught to distinguish the faces of celebrities. Even with a corrupted photograph, 65% of sheep were still able to recognise Fiona Bruce. Maybe they're even fans of BBC's Question Time or Antiques Roadshow. It's clear that in the imagery, though, of St. John's Gospel, the Good Shepherd, recognition is a vital part of that relationship. The shepherd knows the flock, and the sheep become accustomed to the shepherd. In this way, a relationship of trust is formed. It seems that sheep, in the same way as dogs, can learn their own names and recognize the voice of the shepherd. When we hear Jesus speaking in this way about the relationship he has with people, with us, then we know he's speaking about care and trust and faithfulness. He's comparing the one who's always there for the sheep with the casual workers who just come and go. For a hired hand, there's no lasting relationship, just a financial reward, however modest that might have been. The good shepherd is, by contrast, the one who's always there through thick and thin, one for whom being a shepherd is a way of life, not just a means to an end. And we see that Jesus is declaring himself to be faithful, faithful to his people. Each is known by name and by nature, with all of our strengths and our foibles. Those who decide to follow him are drawn because they recognize the voice of someone who knows us better than we even know ourselves. And yes, we know that we're loved through all of that. Jesus warned his disciples against the false prophets. He taught them to recognize leaders who put their own needs and status first. Our Lord's example of washing his disciples' feet may have caused shock and dismay at first, but it showed the nature of the one who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Yes, there are many voices that compete for our attention. Experience shows us sometimes the hard way not to trust the pushy salesman or the glib politician who promises an easy road to prosperity and glory. Such people can disappear from the scene and leave us to face the consequences of our own choices. But the Good Shepherd continues to be faithful. It's he who goes first so that the flock may follow. Maybe we have a romantic picture of a shepherd in the green and rolling countryside, but in the Middle East, it wasn't very romantic at all. It was a rough job. Shepherds were on the margins of society. The job was smelly, it was dangerous. And shepherds would have to walk ahead for the sheep to follow. That way, it was the shepherd who would first encounter any danger from predators or brigands. For the same reason, shepherds would often sleep across the entrance to the sheepfold so that they would be the first to know of danger. Above all, they wouldn't just abandon the flock and run away when things got tough. When we look at the life and the journey taken by Jesus, we see the parallels. It was he who walked with his disciples, who walks with us, who gives us freedom at times to be just sent out under our own choice, but never to be abandoned. There were never any glib or false promises of an easy journey or an absence of danger. But the message of the cross was resisted, as we know, and misunderstood at first. Later, things became clear. It was seen how the Good Shepherd was the one who was struck, but was able to take his life up again through God's own power. It's he who goes before us, who sacrifices himself for our sake. We can't save ourselves, but the Son of God alone could be lifted up on the cross for our salvation, and being lifted up draws all people to himself. Friends, as those who've been called, who've chosen to follow, we come to recognize the voice of the one who leads us. And Holy Scripture opens our minds to that message of life which those first disciples heard when our Lord taught them. We share together in the body and blood, in the sacrament of the altar, the body and blood of our Lord. In this we receive not just some token of faith, not just some memento, but the very life of the one who died for us. In a world that can fail to satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst, we're called to those pastures in which we find our identity. It's an identity, an inheritance that we can't earn. The first letter of St. John reminds us we're already God's children and that love has already been lavished upon each of us. We're not a finished article, but a people being formed in the likeness of the Good Shepherd who's called us. And in that relationship, we find our deepest meaning. We know that we are known and that we are loved. And we find our true life for eternity. Our Lord told his disciples that there were other sheep who were not of the fold and that they too must be led to those life-giving pastures. Others too are longing, hungering, and thirsting for meaning and for life. We can help others to find the inheritance that is ours and that waits for them too, and that nothing in this world can replace. In fact, it's what we're called to do as we imitate the Good Shepherd in the pattern of his life. We might go astray at times like lost sheep, as the Book of Common Prayer reminds us, but the one who is our shepherd calls us back to our true home, the place of forgiveness, of peace, of life. As Pope St. Gregory the Great reminds us, so the sheep find the Lord's pastures. For anyone who follows him with an undivided heart is nourished in a pasture which is forever green. What are the pastures of these sheep, if not the deepest joys of the pastures of paradise? For the pasture of the saints is to see God face to face. When the vision of God never fails, the soul receives its fill of the food of life forever. Amen.